I tell you, before we even speak, I just want to declare over you, you're standing at the edge of greatness this morning. You are standing at the edge of greatness. Every day whenever I go home, I walk into my house and there's a big picture hanging on the wall that says blessed. It's hanging right there in my dining room. And I look at that picture and it doesn't matter what kind of day I've had, how bad I have felt, or what's happened. What's going on at home? What's happening in the church? I look at that picture and it just reminds me of how blessed I am. And today we're going to talk about just being blessed. Are you ready? All right. In Numbers 13, the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 2 and he said, "Send out men to investigate the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." And I'm going to move kind of fast. In verse number 18, he asked these questions, or he told these men to go ask, or he asked these questions of these men as they go out to look. What is the land like? Are there many people who live there? Are they weak or are they strong? In verse 19, he asked, is the land good or is the land bad? Are there cities like campgrounds? Are they fortified cities? In verse 20, he goes back to the land again and says, is the land rich or poor? Are there forests there? And then Moses says, bring back a sample of the fruit from the land. You know, this was a promise that God was given to his children. This land was a promise given to the Israelites. And I wondered why Moses, or why God would ask Moses to ask all these questions. But when God gives us a promise, gives us a blessing, we need to know everything that that blessing entails. As wonderful as it is, we need to know all about our blessings. So in verse 25, these fellows came back to Moses. We know the story after spending 40 days in the land of Canaan and spying it out. And in verse 27, they said, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. How many of you know that to get milk and honey is more than going to the grocery store? You know what I'm saying? And then it goes on to say in verse 28, the people who live there are strong and the cities are fortified and very, very large. And Enoch's people live there. There's giants in the land. In verse number 30, Caleb said this, let us go up and occupy it, for we are able to conquer it. But it was a gift. It was a promise. It was a blessing. But yet Caleb says, let us go up. We can occupy it because we're able to conquer it. And you know how that story goes. Joshua and Caleb says, we can do it. The other 10 says, hey, it's too big. The people moaned and groaned, and then they cut out to walking for about 40 years because of that. And they didn't get that opportunity to go back in and get their promise till like 40 years later. I want us to talk about this morning that there's a price to be paid for the blessing of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to have the blessing of the Lord, and it's a wonderful price to pay. I'm talking about a blessing that will change your soul, the very inner part of your being. A blessing that will take you from captivity into freedom. But it costs something to receive that blessing. When a person receives the word that houses a blessing of God, it may bring a lot of work and a lot of work to bring that blessing into fruition. There may be some giants in your life that need to be conquered. There's some in my life that need to be conquered. There may be some land, some area in your life that needs to be evaluated, checked out, and then occupied. When God gives us a word, that word is already reality because He spoke it. So it's real. It's tangible. It's alive. It creates and brings change into our atmosphere. That atmosphere is exciting. It's happy. It builds strength and it builds faith. And Caleb He delivered the message of promise and hope. The message of promise and hope is we can take the land. It is everything that God said it was, and we are more than able. You know what? Joshua and Caleb were hungry for the promise of God and was willing to do what was necessary to have it. My question to myself today and to you is, are you hungry for the promise of God in your life? And are you willing to do whatever is necessary to have that promise? Those are some big questions. I got a couple of examples here about the blessings and how we have to work for it. We just saw Kennedy Rose on the screen. Pregnancy requires 9 months of carrying the blessing of God. 9 months of blessing and hours of labor to birth that blessing. But you know what? It's more than just those 9 months and that labor, because I have learned what those blessings cost to a parent for the rest of those blessings' life. Yeah. You follow? They don't leave. And if they leave, they come back. There's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I love it. And you have to ask, was that little bundle of joy worth it? Absolutely, it's worth it, because that is our legacy to the world. What we pour into them and what we give to them will far outlive us. So yes, absolutely. This morning I got up, well, I tossed and turned all night long, trying to rest. But I got up at 5:30 and I went outside in the dark to watch the sun come up, and I heard squealing. Unbelievable. I knew what it was. I knew that my pig had given birth to my piglets. There they are. 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days, and about 3 hours. She gave birth to 11 little piglets. Now, those little piglets, they may be hers, but they're mine. Bacon. You got it, sister. Bacon, bacon, bacon. That's right. They may be hers, but they're mine, because I feed her, I care for her. She is a blessing to me, and I'm a blessing to her. We're working together for my blessing. And it's hard work. It's not easy work. And I did not realize she was so aggressive until I stepped into that pen with those babies this morning. And I quickly found myself climbing over the fence to get out. She ran me all the way out because she was protecting what was hers. Now, I wasn't going to hurt them. I was just checking them out. But she was protecting her blessing, her promise. Yesterday, mercy. Yesterday at 7 o'clock, Lori got up. Get up, Steve. We got work to do. There's always something going on at the house. We need a reality show, no kidding. She says, we're going to rob the bees today. Well, I'd been praying about today's message. God, what do you really want me to say? I don't want to get up and just waste time and that kind of thing. And so we're out there, and I hate the heat. I just cannot deal with it. And I got on my bee suit, and it's so restrictive. And I got on gloves up to here, and smoke's going everywhere, and we have stirred up these bees. I'm telling you what, there's like a gazillion of them, and they're swarming us. And so after we got through like 3 hives, I start having a panic attack because I am sweating and smothering and can't breathe, and I start going, I got to come out of this suit. Lori's screaming, don't take it off, don't take it off. If you take it off, they're going to sting you. I said, I can't help it. I think I would rather be stung than to go through what I'm going through right now. So I'd take off running.
And she's following me. And I'm trying to get this hood off of my head because it's stuck. And there's these bees are like in my ear. They're all over the place, you know. And we get around to behind the house, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm safe. This is coming off. So Lori's over there. The whole time she's unzipping it going, this is bad. This is real bad. We should not be doing this. Man, I pull that hood off my head, and within a millisecond, that bee stung me in my left eye. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
That's bad.
That is bad, sister. Stung me in my left eye. And I was asking God what I was to talk about. I start screaming to God, I got it, I got it, I got it. You don't have to sting me anymore, I got it. Before I got the stinger pulled out of my left eye, I got stung in the back of the head twice. So I got like a knot right here, y'all. It's like I can't feel this side of my head. I can't see out of this eye. And I got stung on the hand, and I had on gloves, and I got stung right here. Like just that fast. I paid a price for my blessing. Oh, that is funny. It was not funny when I was going through it, y'all. Listen, I was running so fast when those bees stung me. I went into the pool with all my clothes on. My boots were full of water. Oh, I was begging God for relief. But I got my blessing. And it came with a high price. A high price. My honey, it's worth about $50 a quart. I don't know how you put a value on that, but it is expensive. But you know, we work to get blessed and to be blessed. That milk and honey in that land for those Canaanites, they had to go in there and harvest that stuff. It wasn't like just flowing out of a rock and go over there and fill up your jug. No, they had to risk being stung. Milking those cows to get that milk or whatever they were milking, goats, they had to risk being kicked to get up under there and milk those udders. I'm telling you, we are blessed, but we're not blessed just for us to be blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. It is no good. Listen, it's no good to be blessed and not be able to be a blessing. It's not how it works. You know, the word blessed means happy or happier. I'm blessed. I'm happy today that I'm finished with that project. I'll be happier when my head stops hurting. You know, so we are told, Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive in Acts 20:35. More blessed to give than to receive. Ask yourself this question. How easy is it for me to give something? Just ask yourself that, you know. How easy is it? All right, let's ask another question to ourselves. Without expecting anything in return. All right, let's go one step further. Including a thank you. I'm telling you, it gets harder and harder and harder. But we're called to be givers. And so, I wanted to give my honey, this jar of honey away, because it's such a blessing. And I prayed about who to give it to. And so I wanted to give it to Clarissa. Hey, you taking good notes? Yeah.
Thank you.
Listen, I prayed over this honey, Clarissa. I really did. I prayed the whole time I was getting this honey. But I sow this as a seed of healing into your life. And as I sow that, I expect you to reap healing. But I also expect it too. Okay? Love you.
Thank you.
Love you. You know, now, we're told that Jesus said this. He says, when you're giving alms, when you're helping meet a person's need, he said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. It's in Matthew 6. There's a story about a guy named Marquis de Lafayette. He was a French officer who provided invaluable assistance to George Washington and the struggling American army. After the war was over, he returned to France and resumed his life as a farmer. In 1783, the harvest in that area was a terrible one, and lots of people suffered as a result from it, lots of farmers. But Lafayette's farm was unaffected by the devastating crop failures. One of his workers offered what seemed to be good advice. This is the advice you would learn in economics. This is the advice you would learn if you were taking business classes. He said, the bad harvest has raised the prices of wheat. It is time to sell. And after thinking about the hungry peasants in the surrounding villages, Lafayette disagreed and said, no, this is the time to give. This is the time to give. You know, God blesses us not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. Our human nature has a tendency to hoard things up and try to build more and more and more. And the best antidote to that is to be generous. To be generous. It's one of God's law. You know, I like to give. I've been accused of a lot of things. I have been guilty of probably more than I've been accused of. But one thing that I think I've never done is just been greedy. It's just never been in my blood. I remember me and Lori, we got married. We were young. We were like 18 years old. We got married, and for some reason, we loved to give away furniture. I don't know why, but it's like if people would come up and need furniture, yeah, you can have that couch. Just take it. I mean, it was fine. And we gave away so many living room sets. I mean, I don't know. God would just give us another one, and then somebody come along and need it. We'd give it to them, and then he'd give us another one, and then we'd give that one away, and just bukus of furniture. But it was like the more we gave away, the more God blessed. You know, your economic position, a lot of people don't give because they think they can't. We don't have the money to do. But I'm going to tell you, your economic position has very little to do with your ability to give. It really does. Because when we get saved, the Bible tells us this, we become a new creation. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm brand new. Yes, you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one is gone and the new one is here. In Galatians 6:15 it says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. What counts in us is God's nature. And we receive that when we're born again, when we're redeemed from sin. God's nature lives on the inside of us. God's nature sees the promises and the blessings that He says we can have. And He says to us, you can take that land. You can rob those bees, Steve. You can. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get tired of being good. I just get tired of it. Sometimes I just get tired of it. I can remember one time, me and my little brother, we was about 10 years old, and we had some neighbors who lived behind us. We all grew up kind of like in the middle of town in these small houses, and we really, none of us really had anything. And the kids behind us was a bunch of girls. It was like six of them. Well, for some reason, me and my brother started picking with these little girls, and they were picking back at us. And, you know, our mama had told us to be good. You're not supposed to do those kind of things. You'll get a spanking if you do those kind of things. Or back then, it was a whooping. You know, I'll go get a hickory and I'm going to tear your legs up, boy. That kind of stuff. Well, there was a big gate in between us. You know, and so we felt safe in our atmosphere of being able to pick with these little girls and make fun of them, I guess. And I just remember, this is what I remember about that story in my badness, is there is a consequence to being bad. There may have been a gate in between me and my brother and those six little girls, but what we did not realize is those little girls could climb. And they came over that fence. And I was ashamed to tell my mama what we'd been doing when we went crying back to the house. Because they whooped us good, you know. They whooped us good, but, you know, and I know that's way off. That is a stretch to even reach out and grab that one. But we should never get tired of doing good. We should never get tired of that. We should always strive to do good. And sometimes to do good, you just need to be good. You know, you just need to be good. There was a lady who was born in 1910. Her name was Agnes, and she was Albanian. She took a basic medical course, and then she moved to the slums of Calcutta. And in that place, in that terrible, poor place, she had nothing. The first year was terrible. She went through what all those poor people were going through. She was on the street begging for her very own life. And she was there to minister health to these people living in the slums of Calcutta. And we know Agnes as Mother Teresa. We know her by that name. And she ran hospice houses. She started something called Ministries of Charity. And she started it in that neighborhood. And she ran hospice houses and homes for people with HIV, AIDS, leprosy, tuberculosis. She started soup kitchens and she started orphanages without money. She didn't have money. She just started being what God called her. And it was a huge blessing to her life. It fulfilled her. But it was a huge blessing to the lives of the people she ministered to. Such a wonderful testimony of someone who gives and gives and gives. And when I was reading the story about how she blessed those considered to be cursed, I was taken back in my own mind. I was 19 years old. It was the late 80s. I was working at the hospital in respiratory therapy. And I remember getting a call to go to the emergency room and to do a blood gas. This guy was in distress and he was having a hard time breathing. And back in those days, you know, AIDS was new. People were terrified. And I walked into this room and I knew this guy was not in the regular, like, bay. And I walked in and there was this little frail guy. He's probably 35 years old, laying on a cot. But he was just like in the closet. And I walked in and introduced myself and I was happy because I liked that job. I loved it. I was happy and I told him who I was, what I was there to do. And I started to draw blood so I could check this guy's oxygen. And he said, whoa, wait a minute, man. I said, something wrong? I said, I promise you it won't hurt. He said, I just need to let you know that I have AIDS. And I said, okay. He says, do you want to put a mask on? I said, are you going to spit on me? You going to reach up here and give me some sugar, man? He says, no. I said, hey, man, we'll be all right. It's all good. I remember taking my glove off and just holding that guy's hand. People were so afraid of him. But he became one of my good friends the whole time he was in the hospital. He didn't make it. But it's not hard to be nice. You know what? That man, he did need a miracle to be well, but he needed love. He needed someone to be kind to him. He had a hard life, lots of drugs, lots of sharing needles, living on the streets. But he needed somebody just to smile at him, just to hold his hand and say, hey, man, you'll be okay. You know, that kind of stuff is, it comes with that God nature when you get saved. Who was more blessed, me or him? By far, I was. By far, I was. God is the greatest giver there ever was, is, and will be. We can never outgive God. But you got to realize He lives inside of us. We're great givers. Now, we may not have a pocket of money to run around giving, but it doesn't take much to smile. Even if mine's half crooked because this is numb. It doesn't take much to smile. It doesn't take much to pat someone on the back and say, have a good day. It doesn't take much to listen. You know, it doesn't. God gave us life. He gave us free will. He gave us Jesus. He gave us eternal life through Jesus. And He blesses us through this earthly life as we anticipate our eternal life. Now, we're closing. I just want to run through some C words that I think will help me and help you get your blessing. The first one is Christ. You cannot be blessed without Christ. Just don't work. It doesn't. I've tried it both ways, and it doesn't work without Jesus. In Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to this in 1 John 3:21. This is so important if you want to be blessed. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. If our heart doesn't condemn us. So on the flip side of that, if our heart is condemned, then our confidence in God is null. It's hard to be a condemned man and have confidence in God who said, I set you free, you're no longer condemned. The second C word is confidence. And in Psalms 118, 8, 9, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. It is better to trust in God than to put confidence in princes. Proverbs 3:26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Thank you, God, for giving us confidence. The third C word is courage. How many of you know you got to have courage to be blessed, to go after your blessing, and to be a blessing? It's hard to be a blessing to someone when you're afraid to speak to them. And sometimes it takes courage just to be able to do that. And I know sometimes it can be extremely hard. It can be hard. Sometimes it takes courage just to smile when you're having a bad day. It does. Those are hard things sometimes. Psalms 27:1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So take courage. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid. It doesn't make us fearful, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? So have courage to be a blessing. And then the last one is commitment. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 7, it says, trust in the Lord with your own heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. In Proverbs 16, 3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Those are some great C words: Christ, confidence, courage, and commitment. And as we work those, I'm telling you, you will receive your blessing. You will get
your blessing. How many of you have had God tell you something that He wants for you that you've not obtained it yet? Me? You know, God has. He's told us things that He wants for us. I'm telling you, do not give up on that. Don't give up on that promise. Don't give up on that blessing. Because I believe with my heart, with every cell in me, that we're standing at the edge of greatness. And our blessing is there to be taken. So are you ready to get stung a little bit? Mm-hmm. Kind of get knocked around a little bit. You know, people, including myself, all of us, we are selfish. Sometimes we are rude. Sometimes we are hard. Sometimes we are mean and unkind. But you know what? We are to love each other anyway. We're to love each other anyway because we are blessings to one another. Amen? Amen. If you would stand with me. I want us to agree together that this week we will do one kind act for another person. There's several hundred people in here, and we all have the ability to just do one kind act for another person. That may mean pick up the phone and call someone. Let God lead you. Trust the Lord this week. Commit yourself to Him. Have some courage and some boldness. And step out in faith. And let Him lead you to be a blessing to someone. And don't think real big. You don't have to. Someone may just need a hug. Somebody may need a brownie. I was looking at Karen. You know, somebody may need a picture taken. You know, it's wonderful, Tracy, to be able to go and take pictures of people and make them feel so beautiful. What a blessing that is. How wonderful that is. You know, it is wonderful to be a blessing for God. So let me pray over us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that abundant life is a special place. We love everybody, God. And Lord, we have some empty seats and know that You can fill them with people who need to be loved, who need a little kindness shared, who needs to know they'll be okay. And Lord, we ask You to bring people. Lord, put people in our path this week that needs to know Your love. Lord, You are inside of us and You are love, and Father, we have a lot of it to give. May we not hoard that, but Lord, may we share it freely. Now, Lord, as we leave, I ask that You bless every person in this room as they go, that You would keep them safe, that You would give them rest, and that Your grace on their life would be immeasurable, and that Your peace, Father, would blanket them. And we will give You all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace and in the love of the Lord. And if you would like to stay for the baby dedication, I ask that you please do. We'll begin that in about 3 minutes. And thank you.